There was a son who, young little 8, 9-year-old boy who went up to his dad one morning as they were getting ready to go to school, and he told his dad, "Dad, would you ever punish me for something I didn't do?" His dad, very wisely, said, "Of course not, son. I'm never going to punish you for something you never do. What happened? Did your sister do something? Did your brother do something?" And the son very wisely said, "Well, I didn't do my homework, just to let you know." Today I want to preach on, just very briefly, the sins that we commit in our life of omission. What are sins of omission? Sins of omission are sins that basically us failing to do what we ought to do in a situation where we're being called to love, to give ourselves in charity, to give ourselves in sacrifice, to live basically as Christ himself did, pouring out his life for the other. We actually pray every Sunday that we come here at Mass asking for the grace to not fall into those sins of omission in our life. We pray, of course, we're going to do it here, once again kind of in preparing our hearts for the Eucharist, but we do it at every beginning of every Mass. "I confess to Almighty God and to you, my brothers and sisters, that I have gravely sinned, my thoughts and in my words, and what I have done, and in what I have failed to do." The sins of the things that we fail to do in our life that we ought to do are sins of omission. Today, it's interesting, I want to speak about this because this is exactly what happens in our gospel passage today. This rich man sins gravely through a sin of omission. He neglects, he ignores, he doesn't see Lazarus, the poor man at his doorstep. Poor man who, by the gospel, it seems is always there, maybe day in and day out. The rich man dining sumptuously every evening and is not even willing or conscious enough of Lazarus' plight to have the scraps from his table offered to Lazarus. A very grievous sin of omission, and a sin that ultimately leads him outside of the kingdom of God when he passes from this life. Interesting, I think that so often in our life, the sins of omission that we commit are much more serious than the sins of commission, the sins where we're actually doing something against someone else. Why do I say that? Honestly, I think it's because sins of omission in our life are what come first, foundationally, before sins of commission. So it's when I neglect to do what I ought to be doing that I start to grow separate from the Lord. I start to live a life of selfishness, a life of lukewarmness, where I'm neglecting the obligations I have to put God first in my life and my brother and sister also before myself. And in doing so, I start to develop just a habit, a tendency of, you know, looking towards myself first. And what happens when I'm looking towards myself in selfishness? Then I fall so easily into sins of commission, hurting other people, seeking pleasures in the wrong place, acts of violence, selfishness. So sins of omission really actually being oftentimes the first things we fall into that lead us to the greater sins of commission in our life. And maybe we can think about some particular examples of sins of omission in our life. So, of course, it's a sin to steal. It's one of the commandments, "Thou shalt not steal." But it's also a sin to not give someone what they need if we're able to. It's a sin of omission. It's a sin to lie. But it's also a sin not to tell the truth when we should in the situation. Maybe a moment when we're caught up in some gossip, people are talking about people. That's a moment, maybe, sin of omission, where we don't speak up in defense of someone. You know, it's a sin to commit adultery, but it's also a sin to neglect one's spouse so that they're tempted to a place of infidelity. Or maybe, I think even more foundational, the simple things that we're called to live as true Christians that are following Jesus. Sins of omission around praying every day. Do we have a quality time of prayer every day where we're giving time to God to grow in relationship with him? Or is it just a haphazard prayer at the end of the day when I'm exhausted, I just say some rote prayers and then fall asleep at night? Don't really engage in a quality relationship with Jesus. I'm neglecting my responsibility to be in relationship with the Lord. Or you know, as always is difficult, maybe our responsibility to tithe 10%, to have separation from the materialism and the blessings that we have in this world, being willing to be free to give them away, give 10% to the church and to charitable causes. Or even different aspects of our discipline as a Catholic and a Christian that the church requires of us. Do we go to confession once a year? Do we try and remain in the state of grace? Do I come to confession to receive that healing power when I know I've committed a serious mortal sin? Do I fast every Friday? We're required to fast every Friday, not just during Lent. Called to make some kind of sacrifice in honor of the supreme sacrifice Christ has made to us. Those are all sins of omission that, think about it, if we're not praying, if we're not sacrificing once a week, if we're not tithing of our money regularly so we have a healthy separation of that, we just build up a life of lukewarmness. Yeah, I'll come to church, I'll check some boxes. You know, it's not that bad if I miss a Sunday, another sin of omission. You know, I was with my family and it was difficult, or I was on vacation, it was difficult to find a church. We once again start to value our own conveniences instead of the life-giving power of Jesus, who demands our heart. Come to set you free, but we have to give our hearts to Him. So how are we called today to be renewed in a sense of letting God transform the places where maybe we're not really pursuing Him in love? Sins of omission are about that. I'm just willing to just settle into that lukewarmness that led this rich man to just, which is kind of a casual indifference, ignore this poor man, Lazarus. You know, Jesus came specifically for the poor. He loved the Samaritan, you know, the non-Jew. He loved the sinner, the woman caught in adultery. He loved the widow and those who were sick and suffering. He even loved the enemy of the Jews, the Romans, always looking for the poor to bring them into relationship with Him, to set them free. In our lukewarmness, we stand outside of those poor people in need of the Lord, and we miss out on salvation. And it's also important, I think, to think about maybe ways in which it's so easy for us to get caught into those sins of omission. Think about maybe this rich man. Maybe he was a very faithful Jew. Went to the synagogue every Sunday, was a very generous, you know, member of the Jews, paid for in charitable works for the community, threw great parties and had people over all the time, was nice to people who he did business with. You know, on the external, he's maybe a good Jew, but his heart neglecting the things that matter. And so because of that, he misses out on loving this poor man at his door. It's interesting. Sins of omission in our life tend to isolate us in our selfish desires instead of leading us to, like Jesus, going out to encounter and give of oneself. The essence of being a Christian and to being a person who gives testimony to the gift of love we've all received is going out, witnessing to the love, being willing to encounter the other, just like Jesus went out and encountered us. He pursued us. We're the lost sheep. He's the good shepherd seeking us out. So maybe think about in our life, where are ways in which I'm not going out to seek those in need? Where's God desiring to transform my heart by caring for the poor? I think about in my life, you know, all the opportunities I've had to do ministry, and thank God, I don't think I'd be the priest today if I wasn't sometimes forced into doing a lot of the ministry that we're required to do as a seminarian. And I think about how inadequate I would be able to care for people nowadays if I wasn't pushed into these encounters with the poor. I did a summer with Catholic Charities where I did rent assistance, and I went in being very skeptical and frustrated. You know, everyone who's going to call is going to be someone who's going to take advantage of the system. Are we really going to help people? Over my summer, I learned the great poverty of people, and so many people in true need or in need of accompaniment. Yeah, they need help money-wise, but they also need help learning skills to make a budget. Am I willing to encounter them, meet with them, walk with them, to get the skills they need to live better? Am I willing to visit the sick? You know, I did a summer as a hospital chaplain, and I remember just day in and day out being with the sick and the pain of that. Or do I have a separation from that in my life? Did a summer where I visited people in prison. Same thing. I thought, how am I going to minister to people in prison? I have no connection to these people. You know, these are people who have done horrendous acts of violence. I haven't done any of that in my life. And as I met with these men and women, realizing, yeah, at the end of the day, we have the same sins in our life. I just maybe had a better upbringing. You just maybe, you know, didn't have the great blessing of an education and a beautiful environment to grow up in love. Yeah, if I grew up the way you did, I'd probably be in your spot right there in a orange jacket. You know, I remember growing up, I had a fear of people at the nursing home. So I remember my parents growing up, they specifically took me, sometimes on Sunday, we would go visit the nursing home to encounter my fear. Over the years, that's been one of my greatest places where I love to do ministry, visiting those in the nursing home, caring for those who are reaching the end of this life, who are fearing death. You know, as a priest, places where I'm being stretched is in this Hispanic community. I don't speak Spanish perfectly, so I constantly have to put myself in situations that aren't super comfortable, where I don't fully understand what's being said, and I'm put in cultural situations that I don't know how to navigate, and I have to give of myself in love. I have to be with the people as they suffer, entering into the life of the people who are struggling, immigrants that are here. How do we care for them? All these places are places where I've been forced into an encounter with the poor that's transformed my life. Stand before you as a priest. Thanks be to God who hopefully has some sense of how Jesus wants to love those people because I was forced into an encounter regularly with them. If we're not forced into an encounter with the poor, our hearts really never become transformed because we just remain in, once again, that comfortable place of those sins of omission. Yeah, those things will take care of themselves. I'm just comfortable with my life. I'm not challenged and transformed by having to be challenged in seeing Jesus in a new way, in the poor, in those who are in need of my love. Just like the rich man. So we're challenged today to be renewed in our sense of God loving us and calling us on to give our full life to Him, maybe renewing some practices that we've neglected, our prayer, tithing, places where we're kind of sliding and letting things go, sins of omission in our life, places where God's asking us to learn to be transformed by being with the poor and loving them, being present to Lazarus so that we too may enter into eternal life one day with God, who is God of the poor. So we ask for that grace today for ourselves, for our church here at St. Helens, and for the world. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.